Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
It is not only that part, at the same time, like we also have got the mind pretty much occupied by the trauma and fear during the difficult stages of the life. Younger the one age, easier to adapt, bypass the personal culture and adapt the new one, you know. But we have traveled a long way about our culture journey, so it is too hard to reverse that back and start the new one.
Talk it out, let it breathe. Every voice has something to teach.
Between two worlds, we rise. Between two worlds.
Kia ora whānau, welcome to another podcast from this series Between Two Worlds. I have a great guest here in the studio, which is surely we will together. Let's find out who he is and what he does and the career we will share today. Govinda. Pronounce it correct?
Yep.
Amazing. How are you today?
All good. Just having a little bit of a scary facing the camera.
Well, the other things, what we were talking behind the scenes, that you do already a show on radio, right?
Yes, I do run. Mine is more with audio, and this is the video and the picture, so that makes me a little bit scary.
Great. So welcome to the world of video and podcast.
Thank you.
But I think I'm great. You're already a good communicator and a radio host. So that's great. So Govinda, I do this with my guest. I start with this question. If we give you the mic, how we'd love to introduce yourself.
Kia ora and namaste. I'm Govinda Ringme, originally from Bhutan, arrived in New Zealand in 2010. Under the refugee quota program, and then I'm busy since my arrival, busy with settling myself, supporting the community. By profession, I'm a social worker working for New Zealand Red Cross in the migration team to help the other former refugees to get settled in the communities.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So since 2010, okay. How has the journey been for you? Settling in this country?
There were lots of ups and downs, Kodrian. Of course, I spent quite a long time in my asylum while I was in my exile, about 18 years plus. And then ultimately, we were given the opportunity to come to New Zealand. Mm-hmm. At one stage, I had a thought that, okay, like my difficult days being stateless were over, you know. But when I arrived here and start the phases of the settlement, the journey was not end. Still, we had to continue. A lot of the times, I felt like this is a very different world, and the different world from where I came, sometimes even I felt like a bit of alien, you know, because our system, culture, language, the way we do, our skill, what we had, knowledge, nothing was working in the beginning. So that's like, it's very difficult to adapt this world in the beginning. But slowly, I started grounding myself.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. So within that, going today, we are talking about a topic which is the series of this part we're calling Between Two Worlds. And we are specifically talking about theme mental health. So if I want to start with this question with you, how do you define mental health? Or what is mental health for you?
I really appreciate the phrase you use, between the two worlds. Yes, definitely. We are in the one world, but definitely the feeling gives like we are between the two worlds.
Right.
You know, we had got different kind of cultural settings, and here in New Zealand is a different kind of cultural settings. So to step out from our own culture and get adjusted with the culture where we live in this country is definitely a big difference. Mm-hmm. And to be in between the two is not easy. A lot of the time, we go thinking our mind back and forth, you know. And a lot of the time, we feel scary. And it is not only that part. At the same time, like, we also have got the mind pretty much occupied by the trauma and fear during the difficult stages of the life that we had come through, you know. So or lots of those traumas, fear, were sitting in our mind. And that lie down in the mind at the different layers, from the surface to the deeper level. And at what stage those trauma comes, no one knows. No one can control our mind, you know. It starts behaving differently, feeling differently, and then behaving differently. So once we have those things carrying in our mind as a trauma and fear, we have to manage ourselves, how it goes as per the situation. So I find that those stress, trauma, and managing our emotions, anger, frustration, as a part of the mental health, which is not very easy. And a lot of the time, our culture becomes our own barriers to address those.
Interesting. Within that, Governor, you, when you're talking about two walls, in the home environment, if we bring this example, that's one world itself. Because when we go home, we speak a different language, we eat different food. So we're trying to kind of manage the expectation of this world. This is our culture. Then when we are in a workspace or somewhere else, that we need is a different one. We need to also try to fit or try to also satisfy this culture. Is that happening within your journey and within the backgrounds, the cultures you have, and then the society you settled in? Is this an experience?
No, no one can escape into this one. I'm Korean. I pretty much say that we are guided and shaped by our cultural values, cultural norms, and the knowledge that we have got with, you know. And when I arrived here, I was almost in about my middle age. A lot of my cultural things has been deeply rooted into my body, into my mind, the way we think. And to adapt the different culture here after the age of middle age, you know, which is very, very hard. Younger the one age, easier to adapt, bypass the personal culture and adapt the new one, you know. But we have traveled a long way about our culture journey, so it is too hard to reverse that back and start the new one. So it always hard, because changing is not that easy.
No, at all.
It is too difficult, and we have to adapt the change. And that change also has got its own parameters, you know. It has own parameters that we need to fit into it, making sure that we are following the norms, we are following the procedures, we are also trying to maintain the standards. And what is acceptable kind of things. It can't go in a random way, you know. So these are some of those things difficult. Yeah. What I found the most challenging is that too difficult for me, might be the same case with others as well, to cross our own boundary and come out of the comfort zone is the most challenging one.
Is this challenging because of our community or because, like, what way you is challenging if you elaborate here?
It's not only our community one. One is they definitely you have to cross our own cultural boundary to get ourselves adjusted in the communities here, you know. And at the same time, like our language standard, the ways we speak, like accent, and then the speed of our voice, these are so difficult to understand, you know. Like, I can read and write English, but my English is very much limited with my academic things. So that is so much outside that academic framework. The language used in the community, idioms, phrases, slangs, these automatically comes there. So that makes it quite difficult to understand the body language norms, how the cultures how the language is used in the space that we use it.
Right. Yeah, I got that. So, in your experience, when we face such challenges, what kind of response or solutions is there? how we should manage these kind of challenges.
It is the time for us to come out of that uncertainty and ground our feet, ground our way of thinking, ground our head, everything that we need to ground, you know. And that is a stage of the lost stage that I would like to say myself, because we don't have got our grip anywhere else. Feel like suspended, you know, not grounded properly. And we don't have got the knowledge and understanding the system. Navigating the system is too hard. So we have to keep our self mind so much ready and so much studying hard to learn and adapt the way. So which is very, very hard. And it doesn't come overnight. It doesn't come over a day or a week. We have to have this keep on learning continuous way. Yeah,
absolutely. You think like when we come, we have kind of double pressure, double stress.
Yes, always. That is a double, yeah.
Because what we do, it's to get to that level of acceptance, we have to learn a lot of new things, even language, for example. We have to learn all the language. Now, how many languages you speak?
Two, three. At a professional level, two. Yeah. And then at a communicative, what you call the communication level, maybe other two, but still I can use few other languages, like a couple of the keywords and kind of thing, but like I don't feel confident to use all of them. Yeah. You know,
well I mean you see, at least you speak two and more, right?
Yeah.
So, and then coming to such country, then we have to learn English again, or we have to learn the language, the norms of the society, which it put us into another pressure things, into kind of doubling the work, like we think twice. Because in our mind, we are thinking from the, let's say, the eastern side of the world we come from, and then the western side of the world, and then, you know, try to interpret it in the world. What is exactly this meaning? Is it okay? Is it, this is mean this for me? My culture is fine. Is it fine? Is it kind of these kind of questions we go through. But I think by time we go to the level that we beat this fear. So within the journey, you've been a lot of experience working, supporting communities. What was the biggest fear you think that people have when they really arrive here?
This is quite hard to say, because the feeling is different for the different people. And if we start realizing from the ground where there is a no identity during that stateless position, you know. People have been going through, myself going through that stage of the poverty, not able to have the treatment when we wanted, and then no opportunities to go out in the community and work, and then there was no position where we can have our identity, you know. These were the difficult things that we were going through at one stage. Once arrive here, we have that one, because we are naturalized by the government here. So great that we have got those foundations, like we have got the state, we have got the right to live here, we have got all documentation given by us, like by the government. That has given good frames and pillars for us to start a life here, you know.
Yes.
When you look at the surface, like there is a support, everything there. But in between those skeleton frameworks, there are lots of flesh and blood that we need to fill. Some of them are with, like, knowledge. Some of them are about the culture. Some of them are other way we act out as an action. There are other different things as well. You know, so getting to fit that body is too hard. Getting that is too hard.
And what do you think that could be some sort of solution that motivate people to fit that body that you're talking about?
What I have learned myself, and which is helpful for me, is be more practical and we need to be ready to step down ourselves, forget about what we have come here, what we have carried with us. We might have carried a number of degrees. We might have carried about the expertise in the cultural values of the communities and kind of thing. We might have carried so many other skills, you know. In the meantime, forget about those and try to adjust how it works. Learn at least the basic things in the community, you know. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, we are not forgetting, but we are making our skills and things that we bought, we are just keeping in the pocket. Once we have got hands and feet settle there, then slowly we can take those out skills, start brushing them afterwards, you know. That has helped me. I'm sure that this might be helpful to others as well. So the other thing that helped me and what I've learned to be useful is that be brave enough to do some studies here in New Zealand, at least one level of education from New Zealand, so that along with continuing that study or while we are studying, we'll also learn about the world culture here.
Right.
We'll also learn about navigating the system here. We'll get plenty of opportunity to ask our doubt and difficult questions to our scholars or the tutors or the people or the leaders from the community. So that studying here in New Zealand would properly fill the gap. A lot of those bloods and flesh can go in between during that study.
Beautiful. I love that perspective. I love that way how it is that you put it in a nice way, that because many of our people come here, we do have our own expectations and the dreams, and then suddenly we face with the reality is different. So we need to have that kind of readiness that, like you mentioned, and beautiful in your words, that to be grounded, to be start learning the basic things, learning the, even if you have all these degrees and things. I think that's a very nice way to...
Yeah, I have heard quite a lot of frustration in the stories, the way people talk to the other people. In the community, we hear lots of informal things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For example, what I've heard a number of times is that, oh, I came here with my this degree, and why should I do the other degree? Why should I study, you know?
Yeah.
So this is definitely a valid question. I have already done, why should I do? But unless we do some kind of study here, we are not that easily work ready here.
Right. So what you would tell with those ones who say, I can ready everything, but the system is rejecting me just because of I don't have experience in this country?
This is a tricky question, but what I would like to say is that whenever the weapons, mm-hmm. they start getting blunt, we have to sharpen them, you know.
Right.
So definitely the qualification or the skills that we have brought may not be sharp enough to cut through the what is needed in New Zealand. So it's mm-hmm. time for us to sharpen them.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. So think different way. Don't get frustrated. Think of sharpening them, maybe through the shorter course or adding some credits, whatever it is. Yeah.
Or try not give up.
Yeah, try not give up, yes.
Like try things, start.
Yeah.
For examples, if people don't give you jobs, volunteer.
Yeah.
Experience.
Yeah, definitely. Volunteering option is one of the wonderful mm-hmm. options here in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. I have seen that a lot of people have made their pathways and entry through their volunteers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been wonderful conversations, and I see the time is running. I want to keep talking to you. I've been enjoying this series, really. I've been meeting a lot of great people through this podcast because everyone have a different perspective, different ways. So given that, and then to come up with kind of one last two questions, what would be your message for let's start with, maybe put this way, in the system or the service providers, when it's come to mental health and working with our people from refugee migrant backgrounds, what kind of message you have for them? How do you think that system can work better for our communities?
from my understanding and from my experience, there is a big gap between the support system and the service providers and the service users. For example, when we come from a different cultural background, this clinical approach or this Eurocentric approach, which has been a practice for a very long time, may not be right way to answer or provide a service in a culturally appropriate way. So service providers need to think differently, at least try how they can adjust from the cultural lens. Definitely they can use their knowledge and perspective from here. However, they must have their cultural lens, try to understand so that the clients would adjust thinking that, yes, they are the part of the world. When someone is attending some of the agencies and they are trying to achieve the services, if that is not friendly, user-friendly, people are scared. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how productive or how useful is that. People are not able to be engaged. So to get that engagement, to get that proper settlement, the service providers need to adjust the cultural aspect of that one.
Beautiful. Yeah. Very nice. Right. So on that one, then coming to the end, what would be your message for anyone who is listening, watching this podcast today?
What I've noticed myself, and it has been a very common in the community, is that managing the mental health. I know that this is not an easy topic to discuss. And when you come through this refugee journey and gone through that settlement journey, definitely trauma and fear might have underlying for a long time in our brain, you know, and that has to be undone at any point of time. And this is very hard because later on it gives us ourselves a tough time to ground that one. So my advice to the community is that please find a person to talk to. There will be definitely a way we can manage our emotions, angers, and kind of things. We know when you talk about the mental health, usually a point comes to our mind that the one who is as the a very crazy, whose behaviors are not acceptable in the community, you know. So when you talk or think about that one, mental health gives that picture. But in our day-to-day life, being sad, being happy, being emotional, being a little bit aggressive, these are all the part of mental health, you know. So take this as a normal. Feel free to talk. Feel free to manage. If you are not happy with the service provider, there are ways that we can manage in our own way as well, you know. It doesn't mean that it has to be taken as a treatment from the service provider. We can manage our own way. But the important thing is that we have to manage, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Love it. That's a great message. Good way to end it. Find the one to talk to.
Yeah.
Right. And it's important that we manage. We manage the things that we can manage that is under control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, regardless to what you do, the managing that is very important. Either we do manage self or take help from others. Yeah.
Beautiful. Awesome. Wow, how amazing it is. Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you for your time and the wisdom and the sharing with us today. It was a really pleasure to me to have this conversation with you. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity for me, for the voice of Aroha and to you, Gordian, especially. Because we have a few conversations that was only a voice, you know. So right. This is the opportunity that we can put a name over the face so we know exactly who we are. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you again. I'll look forward. Maybe we'll host you in a different podcast, different themes again.
Sure. Like I might be waiting for you to be a guest in my podcast.
Yes, this time. Okay. Yeah. So give people watching.
Yeah.
I'll be his guest. You have to remind him. Thank you so much again. Okay. So I hope you guys enjoyed watching and listening to such a beautiful podcast corridor we have today. So put your comments down. What do you think? And tell us your experience in the comments. And we see you next podcast. Kakite.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.